Hey, I'm Micah.
And I'm Jen.
From 1994 to 1996, Jen lived in the middle of nowhere, Montana.
But not by choice.
She was sent to a therapeutic boarding school.
I had some issues.
While there, she performed hard labor.
There was also a lot of forced exercise.
Went through daily, hours-long group therapy.
That shit didn't work.
And when she left, she was left with some holes in her life.
Holes?
One of the holes was her pop culture hole.
Yeah, I missed a lot of shit.
And that's a hole we can fill. Lace up your Jordans. It's time for...
I never saw that.
So, for this 40th episode of I Never Saw That...
40?
We watched...
Oh, you know what we should have done, Micah?
We should have had 40s.
Had 40s.
We should have done Edward 40 Hands.
We should have tried to do Edward 40 Hands while recording.
Kids, if you're listening at home... You don't know what we're talking about, and you don't want to know.
What? Everyone knows what...
Not kids.
Edward 40 Hands
Not little
is.
Kids.
Kids don't listen to this
well,
podcast.
Well, I hope not, but I'm just covering our asses, Jen.
You know, what are you covering them with?
So our lawyers don't get on us.
40s?
Yep. Edward 40 Butts. Okay, as I was saying, for
I
this...
I thought you were going to...
Our 40th episode...
Okay.
...of I Never Saw That...
Mm-hmm.
...we watched Michael Bay's 40th best movie... Bad boys, what you gonna do?
Stop.
What you gonna
Stop.
Do when they come for
Stop
you?
It. I fucking hate you. I hate you so much.
You know,
I
we
told
had to
you
do
not
that,
to
though,
do it. I right? told you not to, and you did.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't have to. That's the obvious thing to do. That's obvious.
Well, we're gonna
so
put that
job.
Song in several
no,
places for people to listen to.
I am not
to.
Putting that song in.
I'm a bad boy.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? Okay, what I want to know before we get into this is which came first, the song
the
or
egg.
The movie, you know?
Well, I think it was the song.
I think that's what everyone's wondering.
Well, actually, I don't know, but I remember that there was that show Cops where they used that song.
Yes.
And I thought it was from that show, but it seems very weird to use it.
It wasn't from
theme
that show.
Song
that was a
from
song.
A TV
like,
show.
That was a song that was released.
Oh, so you already knew the answer to your question.
Well, I don't know what the timeline is, but I don't know how much longer it was out before the movie. Obviously, the movie couldn't have come first because the song's in the movie. But really what my question is, which came first, Cops or Bad Boys? And I know that's a different question than what I asked.
Well... So, I mean, you know, from the beginning of time, I would say that there have been bad boys, you know, and cops probably were, that concept was probably developed,
I don't know,
know
why
in
I'm
response
not to, laugh.
To
like
bad boys.
I'm quietly laughing over here.
Yeah.
Just letting you go on.
Thank you.
And on.
I appreciate it. I do kind of wish you would stop me though. I don't have anything else to say
I think
on this.
You covered it. All right. Let's move on.
Okay, so Bad Boys came first. We've decided. Okay, well, here we go. Here we are this evening. Thanks for being with us, everybody.
This is what you've decided to do
this
with
is
your
what
time.
You're doing with your time, and that's your own fault. I'm not taking any responsibility for that because you've made your choices. Bad Boys is definitely not even anywhere near the worst thing we've watched.
No.
So let's not paint it as, like, that bad.
Right, and it's not Michael Bay's 40th movie. Or 40th worst movie either, because he hasn't made anywhere near 40 movies.
I know. How many movies has he made?
I don't know. Well, he produces a lot too.
Also,
I don't know, but
this is way
I mean,
better
as a director.
Than Pearl Harbor, which is the only other movie I can think of that he made.
Yes, Pearl
so
Harbor or The Rock or
I've
all the Transformers
the
movies.
Never seen those. What I do know about Michael Bay, and this was also produced by Jerry Bruckheimer.
And Don Simpson, and they both produced Dangerous Minds. Is that what you were going to say?
Oh, no. It's not.
Okay.
I was going to say that Michael Bay in particular, but maybe Jerry Bruckheimer also. Well, Jerry Bruckheimer, I'm having a hard time saying that name.
Yeah, let's not say it anymore.
That guy.
The producer guy.
Let's call him Jerry Buttheimer.
I really
no,
thought you were going to go
call,
like
let's call him Jerry
let's B.
Let's call him Jerry Buttheimer.
Okay.
Like Heine.
I thought you were going to say just Jerry B, like an adult would say.
I don't say things adults would say. Anyway, I've started this sentence several times now. Let's see if I can get to the end of it. Michael Bay likes big.
What are we talking about?
Everything. He likes big movies.
Oh,
he likes
okay.
big, loud sounds.
Mm-hmm.
He likes big fiery explosions and lots of big. And he likes, I think, spending billions of dollars on movies.
He likes overcranking a lot.
He likes, excuse me?
Overcranking.
Overcranking?
Yep.
Is that like when you masturbate, but you keep going after you're done, you know?
Wow.
What?
No.
Well, what's with that?
What are we talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what overcranking is.
Talk about his movies.
So you're like throwing
Get
all this.
Your mind out of the gutter.
This is a thing that you do sometimes that makes me so angry, which is you throw this fucking jargon out it's that not, nobody else understands. No one knows what overcranking
lingo.
Is.
It's lingo.
No, it's jargon. Well, also lingo. What's the difference?
I don't know. I think you're right. I think jargon. Overcranking.
Try again.
Overcranking.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What was there a lot of in this movie besides those things you mentioned, explosions and other things? Like every time something
happened.
Will
Smith's bare chest.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Uh-huh. Taya Leone's legs.
Yeah, there was a lot of those.
Martin Lawrence's general...
face
general,
things that he does.
General Martin Lawrence.
Mugging Nesh? For the camera.
Ness? Ish? Ness? Jesus Christ. What's your point?
Overcranking is just when you make the camera go faster so that when you play it back at the regular speed, it's in slow-mo. He does a lot of slow-mo. So far, I haven't even looked at my notes, which is kind of terrifying because I took a lot of notes.
Mm-hmm.
We're just ad-libbing this. I don't know if you guys can tell, but this was all improvised up to this point.
Oh, well, honey, our whole show is improvised. We don't...
Right.
This is all improvised.
Right.
Except the occasional time when we try to plan a joke.
Oh, and then you try to tell it, but you say some of the words wrong, and it makes it better somehow.
You'll say, like, I have a joke I want to tell, or like, you know, I have a joke, and then you tell me what my part of it is. Well, yes. But I guess what you just said. I say the wrong sometimes, once or twice, and we've only done that once or twice. I've said, you know.
So 100% of the time
is what you're
saying. A couple
things wrong.
Every time.
Yeah.
We've done it. Okay. Good.
So anyway, this is all improvised in case it's not obvious.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty fucking obvious. This is not scripted.
It'd be a lot sadder if we had taken the time to write this shit down and then decided.
This is what we came up with.
This is good.
Yeah.
Let's do this. All right. Let's talk about Bad Boys,
Jen. Let's do it.
Okay, the opening scene is like Miami Vice with
the
water in the city of Miami.
Yep, and they're in a fast car.
Mm-hmm.
It opens with a joke about how marriage is sexless.
Yes, that's accurate.
Martin
does that.
Martin Lawrence talks a lot about that in this movie. So I was like, cool, we're starting right off with that.
Do you know who the wife was?
No.
Did you recognize her?
No.
Teresa Randall is the actor's name.
Oh my God.
You're being sarcastic. And we've seen her before recently.
Yep, yep, yep.
She was Michael Jordan's wife in Space Jam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so she plays the wife in stuff.
Well, in those two movies, she did play the wife. Yes,
no, but
that's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying that's the defining characteristic.
I don't know.
She is the wife.
I haven't seen her in anything
of
else.
So. A dude. No, dude, I'm not talking about her as an actress and as a person. I'm talking about how in those two movies she played the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Period. She is an accessory for a man.
Yes.
Okay, let me just one of the things I wrote down. Well, so did you want to say anything else about the opening scene? I felt like it was really just to show that they are cops who don't take any bullshit or something.
Yeah, so basically they're in Will Smith's Porsche. He has a really nice Porsche, actually. I liked that car a lot. It's a 1994 Porsche 911 Turbo.
Hey, do you guys say Porsche
3.6.
Or Porsche?
Us guys over here?
No, just the listeners.
Okay.
I want to be...
Because I just said it.
They're going to think about it. I know, I don't like it when you say Porsche
was it
for some reason. I know that's the correct pronunciation.
What I'm more worried about right now is, did you give the listeners enough time to think about it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And we'll never know, maybe. And we're going to have to live with that for the rest of our lives. You know?
Thinking about the time that we wasted.
Guys,
of theirs.
We are in rare form this evening. And I don't know if we're ever going to talk about this movie.
They're in Will Smith's car driving to their police job, I guess. You don't even know they're police, though.
Yeah, I mean, you do because it's
Bad Boys. Of course, everyone knew, but...
Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, and everybody knows that, is this movie was 25 right. years ago.
But they're being followed by a it's Lincoln a joke Continental, I was making. And then these guys get out and rob them, and they beat them up and say, you just messed up because you...
Oh, but they use a woman. They use yes. a woman as a decoy. Mm-hmm. This is, I was like, okay, so the first two women, it did get better. But the first two women in this movie were, one was literally used as a decoy,
mm-hmm.
Dressed, you know, scantily, showing mm-hmm. a lot of skin, walked in front of the car to catch their attention. It worked.
It totally
did. So it was
did.
That. So there was that. And then there was the wife. And those were the, but, yeah. but then there were other female characters. Yeah.
Do you know who one of the guys that was holding them up?
No, I don't know who that was.
It was Kim Coates, who we've also seen recently. He was the drifter in Waterworld.
Who was going to rape the
paper for, yeah. Ugh. Yeah, he was that dude.
Great. It's a wonderful connection.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, they get robbed and they kick their asses. Mm-hmm. The end. Do they arrest them or work. Anything?
I don't know. They don't really show
they just
that.
They sort of like kick ass. Well, okay, here's the thing that I did. I was disappointed because the opening scene made me think, okay, so the reason they're even, they have this scene at all. Number one is to set up their dynamic
yes.
because they're pitching, you know, they're giving each other shit from the beginning and it's kind of funny. I feel like, and this is something I'm going to say a lot, that it should have been funny
mm-hmm.
and wasn't funny to me. It just didn't quite get there. I do think that Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are both people with the capacity to be very funny. And charming and all of that. And it did work sometimes. But anyway, so we set up their dynamic, which is that they are partners who love each other but give each other a lot of shit. And they're very different.
I'm the first guy through the door and I'm always the last guy to leave the crime scene. So you know what? Fuck you and fuck them and fuck everybody who got a problem with Mike Lowry. I love you, man. Fuck you, Marcus.
I do. Cool. You're my partner.
Shut up, man. Slow ass driver. Driving like a bitch.
Why I got to be all that?
Slow ass.
I'll take me and you off this fucking cliff. Keep fucking with me.
And number two was just that these are cops who take no bullshit. But I also thought these are cops who are kind of willing to bend the rules or mm-hmm. break the rules a little bit. And so I thought we might be heading for a little bit more of a Training Day kind of situation, only funny, but we weren't.
Yeah, they really set it up as if these are like bad boy cops. And he even says, Joey Pants, their captain, later in the movie, he says to him, you guys do what you do.
Well, his name's Joey
Pantoliano, but he goes by
Joe Pantoliano. I'm fine. We will call him that from here on out.
It's just easier to say.
I just wanted to make it clear to the listeners who we're actually talking about. Okay. He's an actor, you know, that you've probably seen.
He was in The Matrix and Memento.
For me, he's always Teddy from Memento.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Always. Forever. Just they don't really end up being particularly, they're not really rebellious or anything. They're just cops. They're tough, yeah. I guess. They're just cops, though. Right from the beginning, and you mentioned Miami Vice. I think that's a good comparison, though I've never seen Miami Vice, so I don't actually
know. So you
don't
know. You don't
but
know.
I think, but I assume that it, well, I mean, I don't know. There's no Don Johnson and stuff in this movie. And by that, I mean wearing shoes with no socks.
That's true. She was saying, just so it's not clear, she didn't say Don Johnson and. She said Don Johnsoning.
As a verb.
It's well, a verb. Or gerund.
I think people know what yeah. I think people know what Don Johnsoning is.
You don't think that's just our thing?
No.
Okay.
So right from the beginning, super intense music
mm-hmm.
of a very 90s 80s and 90s, I would say, mm-hmm. kind of quality.
Yeah, there's like weird
where
synth.
You know some epic shit's going to go down.
Yeah.
I was like, cool,
yeah.
yes. But my next note was, this is going to be one of those movies where I don't really know what's going on because I don't care enough for my brain to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely think that I should probably attempt a plot synopsis.
Definitely.
Actually, though, Micah, I took that note right at the beginning. I think I actually could give a plot synopsis.
Yeah.
Because it's not very complicated at all.
No, I mean, they made it super complicated. They introduced characters in, like, the end of the last act that you had never, no one had been, like, referencing them.
Wait, what characters are you talking about? I don't remember that.
There's the dude in the white suit.
Oh, so one character.
Yeah.
Who's, like, the sort of mob boss, if you will.
Right. But they're just introducing characters They're just introduced.
I'm sorry. I'm in such a weird mood.
Oh, man. Yeah. Bad Boys, man. What you gonna do?
They'll do that to you. Okay. God. That song is stuck in my head right now, and it's making me feel real angry.
I feel like it's never not been stuck in my head.
There was a part in the beginning where... Oh, do you want me to try to give a plot synopsis real quick?
If you want to.
Okay. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence... So the thing that happened at the beginning had nothing to do with anything, right? Those people didn't... Okay.
Correct.
So forget all that. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence are trying to solve a drug crime. And the drug crime was that some people stole some drugs that they had previously confiscated from drug crime lords. And in order for those people, for the criminals, mind you, for the criminals to get those drugs, they set up this very complicated system of the luge through buildings is what it looked like to me. There's this dude's doing the luge and then getting a bunch of heroin. And so they stole it from the police station building by luging through the building. Micah's nodding like I'm doing a good job.
I don't want to interrupt your flow.
No, you shouldn't. And so they take the drugs. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are on the case. They find out that this woman that they know has a connection to the people who did it. I don't remember how they found out who did it, but they just know because crime drug lords. And so the woman that they know is a woman who does boxing at a boxing gym, I guess, because that's where they go to find her. And Will Smith is kind of into her and she's into him. And they clearly have like a thing. They like each other. And so she used to be a working girl, or she is still. I wasn't clear on that, but she knows a madam. And went to talk to the madam. I think she is still a working girl. I think she worked for this madam who knows these dudes who are, because they're clients of hers or something. And so the woman, she's using her, she gets hired by these dudes to be her, to be a working girl. And then she shows up at their house. And then Tay Leone's there. I forgot to mention that. Tay Leone's best friends with this other person. Forget the other person's name. And they're just going to this thing because they're trying to, like, on down low, as a favor for Mike Lowry, who is played by Will Smith. She's trying to get information on these guys, right? But the problem is that the guy who got her, you know, who got the girl to come to this house, he has, like, an open container of heroin there, one of the, you know, packages that they make of heroin, and he's like snorting it and shit, and it's just out there on the table. And then the guy comes, like the boss man comes in, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And guess what he does? He shoots the girl. Terrible. And she dies from that gunshot. And Tay Leone's like, oh shit, she tries to get out of there. They try to chase her, but they didn't get her. And then she calls the cops and she requests Mike Lowry. I don't remember how she knew his name, but probably her friend told her. And then Mike Lowry and Marcus is the other guy. They go and they find her and she's dead. And they're like upset, you know?
Not Tay Leone. You made it sound
like they girl, find, the yeah. other girl whose name I can't remember, and I apologize. Max was her, was her character's name. So, yada yada, Tay Leone calls Mike Lowry. Mike Lowry, though, Will Smith, has gone to try to investigate something. And he gets thrown out a window, and so he's not available, and Martin Lawrence pretends to be Mike Lowry. And then, for some fucking indescribable reason, he pretends to be Mike Lowry for the whole fucking movie, and then his wife gets pissed, Will Smith goes and lives with his wife and kids because he says he's somewhere else, but he's not. He's living in Will Smith's apartment with Tay Leone. And so in the end, they get the drug guys.
Oh, wow. It really wrapped up quick there at the end. That's good. I have one question, and it's not necessarily about the content of the synopsis, but it's about the use of the term yada yada.
Okay.
It's often what I'm most familiar with when people say that is they're like skipping ahead or moving past some points. The way you employed it was interesting because you said something and then you said yada yada and then you went back and said that exact same thing again. which I liked.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It emphasized it in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We'll see. Micah, I don't play by the rules, you know?
Okay. You're looking at me. Of language or...
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't play by the rules of language, nor any other rules. Well,
sometimes it's important to, because then people can understand you, you know? Some of those rules are important. So let's not just throw them all out.
Okay, well, fine. Let's agree that I did use the phrase. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm going to be back. I'm not going to be able to stop laughing. Let's agree that I did use the phrase yada yada for no apparent reason. And move on.
Okay. I'm ready.
I talked for a while there. Do you have anything to add? Or yeah, does that it's
so
do
much
it?
To add, but I wanted to let you go because that was great.
Well, I mean, we kind of have the general plot out there.
Yeah.
Now.
There were some good quotes. And I do want to say,
I felt the same way
about how you said you didn't feel like it quite got there with some of the jokes. Because Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are both very funny people.
Yeah.
And Martin Lawrence was definitely more like slapstick and...
Yeah.
Sight gags.
Yes.
And
those were the parts that actually made me laugh. I actually, I started keeping track of each part that made me laugh, even if the laugh was, huh.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah.
And I even wrote that down a couple times. But yeah, that's the thing is that it was not funny. Like, it should have been. There were some funny moments.
There were funny lines.
But it really should have been a lot funnier. I actually thought Tay Leone was pretty funny in some of it as well.
Gee, Julie. What have you been up to the last couple of days? Oh, nothing. Just kind of hanging out, handcuffed to steering wheels.
Her and Martin Lawrence together were pretty great.
That's flesh that you're shoveling into your mouth. You know, that was like a living, breathing creature. You know, it probably had a name.
It's just baloney. My baloney has a first name.
Well, actually, your baloney has about 30 names, you know, because they take, like, odd parts from all different ones, you know, like the leftovers, like the hooves, you know, stomach lining, ears, stuff like that, you know, and they put it into this machine and, like, grind it all up, and then out comes, like, this sheet, you know, that's, like, what you're eating now. Okay.
You know what? I don't eat bologna no more. How about a pickle? Can I eat the pickle?
Well, there's a lot of salt in it, but yeah, it's fine. I mean, it is a vegetable. A
lot of salt in pickle? Okay, let me rinse it off. There we go. How's that?
Keep going.
I don't even taste the salt now.
Martin Lawrence had a lot of jokes and a lot of lines. Will Smith, I thought, interestingly... He wasn't very funny in this movie. He was kind of smooth, but he, in almost all his other films, he's like this cocky smartass. He's smooth. He's funny.
So charming.
Super charming.
In fact.
He wasn't charming in this movie.
This is funny. I wrote, one of the very first notes I wrote was Will Charming is so Smith. You know? No, I wrote Will Smith is so charming. And I just wrote it just... having seen his face for a second, guess what? I deleted that.
Interesting. Note.
So I absolutely agreed with you on that.
I wonder if this was like one of his first movies where he was trying to move out
like
and be
an action
more,
star.
Yeah, more like an action star.
When did Independence Day come out? That actually might be in our timeline as well.
Oh God, I don't know. But I saw that movie a lot.
I haven't
3 days in a row.
In the theater?
In the theater when it came out. I don't know why.
No, people love that movie.
No, I do know why. Because I think it starts on like July 2nd and it says July 2nd and that's when it came out.
On July 2nd.
And we were like, oh yeah, let's go tomorrow. That'd be funny because it'll say July 3rd. And then we went again, like, so then it ends on July 4th.
It'll say July 3rd?
Because the movie starts on July 2nd and it says on the screen July 2nd.
Okay.
And then
I thought you were saying July 3rd.
And then
that every
July
day
4th.
That the movie
They don't start
played...
in the middle there, no.
No, that's... I thought you were saying that they changed the date for every day it was played. I knew that that wasn't what you were saying.
Right.
It's just the point I'm trying to make is that it was confusing the way you said that.
So that's why I saw that movie 3 times in the theater, but we're not talking about that movie.
We're not, but I think we will.
Yada yada. I saw Independence Day 3 times, 3 days in a row. back
I
to
hate
Bad Boys.
You so much. Wait,
I do
wait.
Have things.
No, we're not done talking about how Will. I keep wanting to say Will Charming.
Will Charming.
How Will Smith had a bit of a lack of charm in this movie, and mm-hmm. I think it's strange because
yes.
His whole character was supposedly defined by being smooth and charming and being a womanizer.
Yeah, he's a womanizer.
Which
he's
also...
He's a ladies' man.
Here's the other part of that that irritated me, was that we're supposed to have these big feelings about his feelings about the woman who got shot because of him. But I did not have any big feelings about that because to me...
He didn't seem to be that.
No. It's not that... It's not about how he didn't seem. It's about the fact that when they interacted, she seemed really into him and he seemed to be playing her.
Yeah.
And maybe he was really into her, but even if he was, his whole thing is that he's into a whole bunch of different women. And so it was odd to me that they played that as if...
As if he would have been really moved.
About how he felt. He felt guilty, of course.
Right.
And of course. And he... is genuinely sad that this person died. She was a friend. They had a relationship. But I just thought the slightly romantic angle they played on that was strange to me. And missed the mark. And missed the mark because, again, he was not charming to me.
Yeah. I wonder if they played that down a little bit, too, because he and Taya Leone were supposed to kind of be getting together throughout the movie. And they
kind of
do.
But they don't.
There wasn't a whole lot of chemistry there. For me either, between the two of them. It was between Martin and her.
Well, that's because all the scenes,
yeah.
She was hardly ever even on screen with Will Smith.
Yeah, it was
weird. When
at
they
the
first
end,
met,
they just...
she was like, you could tell they were attracted to each other. But I didn't really get any spark. Taya Leone and Martin had more of a playful kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already said it. I just really wanted this to be funny.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Martin Lawrence... tried to make this movie funny. And he almost succeeded a few times. I mean, I think the first time I laughed was when they go to the boxing gym to find Max. And and Will Smith is meeting with Max because he's the charming womanizer, so he can convince her to do something. And Martin Lawrence is trying to lift weights. It's very slapstick. Like,
he drops the bar on his chest. Yeah. He can't move it.
And it made me laugh. Like, that shit made me laugh.
He has a line at the very beginning, too, where I thought the banter was going to be great. Because they're driving in Will Smith's Porsche, and he's complaining because there's no cup holders. And it's a super famous line from this movie. He says,
"No cup holder, no back seat, just a shiny dick with 2 chairs in it. I guess we the balls just dragging the fuck along."
But I thought because of that line, I was like, oh, it's going to be like this. Like, they're just going to be roasting each other the whole time, and there's going to be this great banter. And there really wasn't.
No.
There were a few times.
There was not much, really.
And there were these really set up moments where they did this a few times, where every time somebody had the drop on them and they were in a bad situation, they'd start arguing with each other and then distract the person and then both pull their guns out and punch them and do whatever.
Once again.
So they played
that
over and over.
But it got annoying. I mean, it was clearly supposed to be kind of funny that all they do is fight.
Right.
But it wasn't. It just didn't, I don't know. It just was not, it missed the mark. And I think that it was very, very bad writing and bad directing because, I mean, compared to some of the other performances in this movie, those two, it's not that they weren't doing their job well. I mean, I thought their performances were fine with what they were given.
Yeah. But compared to some other people.
I think what they were given was very bad. And that, exactly. That's my point.
Those other people were bad.
Oh, my God. There were parts, particularly in the police station. The first time I really noticed it was with the woman who is the
Max
who is she?
And the madam.
What?
No. Oh.
No.
Mark
she's like
Helgenberg.
A captain.
She's
talking to
internal
Joey
affairs
Pants.
Captain. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
The
every line
reads were terrible.
Every line was like, well, it was like you're reading a line and not even trying to read it as a character, but it's like your first read through, you're just reading lines.
It was almost as if they cut together two movies where Will Smith and Martin Lawrence were doing a buddy cop comedy, and then all the other scenes were a porn. What? But without the sex.
Oh, yeah, just the bad acting.
It's like they replaced the sex with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith.
It was so strange.
Oh, man.
There were... So wait, let's just pause for one second because, you know, I have lots of notes and things that we can talk about. Do you want to talk any more about the plot? Does anyone out there care about the plot of this movie?
Everyone's seen it, right? I have themes I want to talk about that I actually thought were interesting.
I already said they get the drug guys and it's all a drug thing. It's a mob of dudes and drugs. Though, one thing I'll say about that is I did appreciate, like, any movie now or then, but especially in the 90s, that has two black leads is cool. You know, I think that's a good thing and that's cool. I also did like that the criminals were white dudes. So they did, you know, they did flip the trope on that, and I appreciated that. I don't know if it was intentional. They had probably another trope
because it was a dude with an accent.
Yeah.
So,
but it cares? Wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm probably some people do care about that, but yeah. But
it's it was just a white mob.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're right. They're foreigners, of course, because they have to be foreigners. Because yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But
it was refreshing to see.
Yeah, I mean, the black dudes are heroes, the white dudes are assholes. It's sort of like. It's closer to real life. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah. So we don't need to talk about the plot is what you're saying. I don't think so.
But I have some other theme things that I wanted to mention. And some things I noticed that I thought were interesting, but I wasn't excited enough to follow it all the way through and see if I picked up a pattern. There was one, the very first scene, the opening scene in Miami with over part of the credits is all orange.
Hmm.
And I thought at first it was like sunset and the light.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, but they were driving to
or
work.
Sunrise, probably.
Or sunrise, maybe, but it was like dark outside in the sky. I don't know. Anyway, it was very, very orange and it looked super smoggy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is this LA? Is this supposed to be LA at first? But it's clearly Miami. And then the next scene is the heist scene with the luging, and everything was very blue. So it was a very cool feeling. Mm. It's very warm, like overly warm, like an orange haze.
See, now...
But it didn't continue throughout, but I just thought that was interesting at the very beginning. It was strikingly orange, and then, whoa, it's very cool and blue during the
robbing scene. And I mean, I would imagine that's intentional.
Oh, it's totally intentional.
I feel like this is the thing, and I was saying this to you earlier, or trying to say it. Something I thought about a lot watching this movie was Michael Bay and why he makes movies. Because, and what I think is, number one, money. Obviously, it's a job, and he makes giant blockbusters that make a shit ton of money, and that's what they feel like is just moneymakers. That's what this movie feels like to me. It's like, oh, this is a movie starring two people who were big at the time with a bunch of explosions, and it's just to make as much money as possible. They didn't give a shit how the lines were delivered, you know what I mean? People were going to see this fucking movie.
Right.
And so, but, you know, on that same kind of theme... Maybe, you know, he's more focused on things like, I don't, you know, like the lighting, like your things that you're talking about, details that I don't actually notice that you notice a lot more, but, you know, the details of the sets and the special effects and that kind of stuff.
I think, yeah, you're being very generous.
I am being very generous. He's
like a very visual.
You're welcome, Michael Bay.
Auteur. Like he's.
No.
Well, he
I did
would,
not say that.
He would say that. And he would say that he does care about the dialogue. It's just that he's not very good at directing it.
He would say that?
No. I'm saying the last part.
No.
He's. What well, I would also say is he's not very good at directing action movies.
No. I
hate Michael Bay films.
No, yeah.
I just want to be clear.
I agree. I'm just saying he is a huge and hugely successful director. Why is that? What is it, you know, what is it that people love about these movies? And I guess it must be things that are found in the things that I don't care about as much in movies. To me, like a piece of art, to me, feels very different than this.
I think you're giving it too much credit. I think it's explosions.
Well, explosions I'm giving people in general too much credit, not the director. I'm giving the American public, not just Americans, but, you know.
Yeah.
We're idiots. We like to watch stuff explode.
I will
and
say.
And that's about it.
I liked certain things about this movie more than other Michael Bay films that I've seen. Like you said.
Can you name any other ones besides Pearl Harbor?
The Rock, Armageddon.
What is The Rock?
It's Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage. And
now, is it good Nicolas Cage or terrible Nicolas Cage? Because it's always one or the other.
It's The Rock is what it's like. Nicolas Cage's Keanu Reeves movie. It's the one people make fun of the most for.
Oh, okay.
Like he's bad.
He's bad in it. Okay.
But he's earnest.
I think Nicolas Cage is very bad in action movies. That's what I think. And I think he's great in not action movies.
I have to say, when The Rock came out, I liked it. I was into sure. it. I think it was right before.
Yeah, Bad so you were Boys. A kid.
Yeah, but I later realized, oh no, this is terrible.
Right. That's my point.
But he's done other things, Armageddon, Pearl Harbor, the Transformers movies.
Oh yeah, you already said those. I haven't seen any of those.
And I hated the same things. Like, I was really excited about the first Transformers movie. I'm sure. going to be completely honest.
Of because course.
I owned so many Transformers and I loved the Transformers.
Well, yeah, for people of our generation, that was very, very exciting. And actually, I think a lot of people do love those movies, yeah. right?
And I was upset when I heard Michael Bay was going to direct them. But I was willing to give him a shot because it's Transformers. So it wouldn't right. really matter that much.
Yeah.
But the thing I hated about it, and I don't care that much that they changed the way they look. I mean, it's kind of annoying because that was the charm of the Transformers. But they, all of the fight scenes... Just like in this movie, all of the, like the car chase scene at the end, the climax of the film, you can't tell what the fuck is going on.
Oh, I have some things to say about all it. All the fight scenes so in funny.
All of his movies, you can't see who's punching or swinging or what's happening. It's just super close up,
right,
weird
but
things
it's not...
moving super fast. And he has two, can we just talk about the finale?
Yes, we can, but I just want to comment on what you just said, which is that you can't tell what's going on, but it's not done in an interesting or, you know, intentionally experimental kind of way. This was not that.
No,
there was
this
nothing,
is his...
There was nothing interesting about it.
Right. This is his style, and I think it's a way that he masks the shitty, like, fight choreography that's in there, but...
No, and it's... And people love it. People yeah. love scenes like that.
Where and it's you... always just bugged me, because there are so many good directors that are great at filming fight scenes or doing yeah. interesting things. There's a film language around that that's been built for decades. And Michael Bay's like, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to make it blurry and super close up and everyone's going to be confused. And it's just going to be loud and flashy and fast. Mm-hmm. I was so pissed at the end of this movie because there are two of my favorite cars probably in the world. I'm kind of a car dude. Like, not, I'm not a car dude at all compared to real car dudes. But I like cars.
Yeah.
And... There's a 1994 Porsche 911 Turbo that's beautiful throughout the film. So at the very end, they introduce this other character in the white suit. And for some reason, he's flying away. They're going to do the drug deal. And he's going to load his Shelby Cobra 427 into the plane, too, with the drugs. So there's just another cool car there. So they have a race between the Porsche and the Cobra.
Yes.
Which there were probably, when this film came out, car nerds and teenage boys like me... They were super excited to see a Porsche and a Cobra race sure. on an airplane tarmac.
Sure. That's
and you
fine.
Couldn't tell
that's
what
valid.
The fuck
fine.
Was going on. All of the shots were either the cars super close together and just close-ups of the faces or a fender going by, or the two cars, but shot from so far away with a telephoto lens that it's all totally flattened and foreshortened and blurry and you can't see anything. It was such a waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of these two amazing, beautiful cars.
Yeah.
Like, why even have them in the movie? They weren't... What's the point? It was kind of like wasting Will Smith and Martin Lawrence because...
Well, on that top... Okay, so since we're talking about the end, I don't know if it's during the car chase... Who's driving the Porsche?
Martin.
And is Will Smith with him in that part? And Taylor
yes.
Leone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's something... Okay, so before that, Will Smith is... literally running after a truck
mm-hmm.
and is keeping up with the truck. And
he fast.
His shirt is falling off of his body the entire time.
Oh, God.
And his beautiful, beautiful chest is exposed. And it is beautiful.
It's unbuttoned. And
I mean,
just,
let's
like,
take a minute to just
behind
appreciate.
Him the whole time.
It's beautiful to look at. But that went on for so long. And it would be, it's Will Smith. And they go back to the... cars, and they go back to Will Smith, and they go back to the cars. I felt like we were watching, and it was slow-mo
mm-hmm.
when they showed him running.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I saw Will Smith running shirtless or, you know, nearly shirtless for 75 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
It was so long.
Again.
And it was hilarious.
Such a weird scene. Like, there's Martin Lawrence is on top of the truck or something, and then gets thrown off.
Oh, I don't remember what happened.
And Will Smith is running in slow motion behind them for like
with a gun in his hand, just looking super tough and super cut.
And then at the last second, he swoops in and knocks Martin Lawrence out of the way so the car doesn't hit him. But
then he gets hit or something. Because
no,
then
that was later. He got shot and he got hit. Whatever.
But then they had to get him in the car before they went on the chase with the other car.
Yeah, that was much later. Anyway.
Okay, well, anyway, I just thought that was so funny. And I think that that, you know, that is how they used Will Smith rather than use his actual talents.
Just use his pecs?
Well, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He was such a shallow character. And I do think that he's a really talented actor who could have.
He's better than this.
You're better than this, Will Smith. Mm-hmm. You're better than this, Martin Lawrence. Although Martin Lawrence, I will say, I think you were probably the best part of this movie. I'm saying you. I think. I would say there's probably a 62% chance that he's listening to this, that he listens to our show.
62%
chance that he listens to our show. 62%.
So you're like not 62 out of what though?
Well, percentages.
I know how percentage works, and I'm wondering if you don't.
Micah, I taught middle school math for several years. I know how percentages work.
Yada,
I chose 62.
What I'm asking is, do you know how percentages work? Because there's no way there's a 62% chance that Martin Lawrence is listening right now. Then? Just because I was going to repeat myself. And it's a signifier in our language that we've developed, apparently.
I don't like you. And I hate this fucking podcast.
There are a couple other things. I want to mention something that I liked about this movie. Can I do that?
No, yeah. I mean, there are some things.
I actually like, despite all the other things, and this could be a criticism of many films, but I felt it worked in this one. A lot of films can't decide what they are, if they're a comedy or an action movie or a horror movie or a drama, and it doesn't work. Like one actor, like we talked about this with Waterworld. It was an action movie, but Dennis Hopper was told that it was a fucking madcap zany comedy, you know?
I thought he was the best part of that movie.
Yeah. But this film, I didn't feel like it didn't know what it was. It knew it was a big action film.
Yeah.
And you're going to get some laughs in there too.
But
what I liked was it had a lot of tropes in it. There were like plot structure elements that all worked together. Like it was a heist movie. There was the cool scene at the beginning with the luge. You know, they were super proud of coming up with the luge thing.
No,
it was also extremely dumb. Like at one point.
Yeah. No, it's.
They're stealing.
Absolutely impossible.
Like 400 billion pounds of heroin, and it's kept in a police precinct in one little cage with one padlock on it, and there's a fucking ventilation duct right next to it so that they can just unload it and put it on the luge.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do all the fucking Mission Impossible, like security camera. I'm hooking up an electronic thing with three red lights on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a heist movie. It's also a body switch movie, like Freaky Friday or one of those, because they kind of switch places.
Identities, yeah, sort of.
They're talking about how Martin Lawrence is married and has a family and never gets to have sex, and Will Smith gets all the sex with all the women all the time, and he's just free and a bachelor, and he can do whatever he wants. And then they switch places and have to live in each other's situations.
Well, it never is presented like Will Smith enjoys. I mean,
he enjoys it. He enjoys it when he's there, but then he complains about it.
I did not get the feeling, though, that it was something that he ended up wanting. Although, I don't know. Maybe they were supposed to be going for that, but they just didn't have time to address that because we needed to see him running without a shirt for 75 hours. But the thing that was cool was that Martin Lawrence was, and his name's Marcus in the film, but he goes by Mike Lowry the whole time, so it's very confusing. Yeah. Let's just call him Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence's character is very dedicated to his wife. He complains about how they don't have sex enough. But he doesn't really complain about her otherwise. I mean, they make some naggy wife comments, but he doesn't.
But it's not even directed at her.
No, it's not really about her. He loves his wife.
Yeah.
And loves his wife throughout and is in a situation where he easily could have been cheating on her because he's living in an apartment with Taya Leone, who's very attractive, very hot, and he doesn't do that.
This, I can see how it would look a trip.
Uh-huh.
You see me, I run out, I got a shirt open. You see Mike, he half butt naked. Then you see the white girl. So the shit looks like we having one big motherfucking orgy up in here, and ain't nobody home. I'm telling you, ain't nobody doing none of that. It's not what it looks like, okay? Hear what I'm saying. Baby, she's a material witness. That's real.
No.
I felt like his sort of devotion to his family was cool, and I don't mean that in a like puritanical sort of gross
Christian way,
but like, just
they played that against the trope kind of where I was excited that he wasn't excited about this newfound freedom.
No, exactly.
He was just yearning to go home, and he kept saying that. And at the end, he's like, fuck this, I'm going home to my family.
Yeah.
And that's all he wanted was to get back to his wife and kids.
Oh, and also his kids were so cute.
Yeah.
He had one son in particular. And toward the beginning of the movie, one of my favorite scenes was his son, the one who wore glasses. He was talking about how kids were making fun of his ears.
Oh, yeah.
At school. And Martin Lawrence's response was so sweet. He was like, yeah, I get that too.
Yeah,
I get that all the time.
And
like, you know, and it was like, I was like, oh, okay. Like they set that up very early. So that was clearly supposed to be a big part of his character that he was this, you know, he's a devoted husband and father.
Although he does say when Will Smith is, when they switch, Will Smith makes a comment like, yeah, I'll just go to your house and hang out. I'm going to have somebody cook me dinner and I'm going to have all this or something. And Martin Lawrence says, what? Whatever. We're not the Cosbys.
Look, I'll stay at the house with Teresa and the kids and everything.
Well, thank you. Thank you, but no thanks. Okay? You wouldn't last 5 minutes with my family.
Please, man. Married life is easy. You only got one woman to satisfy.
Yo, man. We ain't the Cosbys.
Let's go. I got this.
No, it's not presented that way. It's messy. It's a messy family
chaotic
life.
With
yeah,
a bunch
like,
of kids.
Like
yeah.
It is. And I did really appreciate that. If there would have been more of that, you know, his kids and just that kind of stuff in this movie, I would have been into it for sure. But again, that's Martin Lawrence's character was so much more developed than Will Smith's character. I mean, I really feel like Martin Lawrence was the star of this film.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because Will Smith is way more of a typical leading man. He's had way more leading man roles.
Right. But at the time, I think they had equal billing and they were Martin Lawrence was at the
he
peak
was huge,
of his
yeah.
game then.
Did he have, was Martin on then, his show?
Or? I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the timeline is there.
What happened to him after, though? Because I feel like he's nowhere now. What's he doing?
I don't know. He's probably still doing
stand-up
and some
like,
other things.
He was funny.
And Will Smith, of course, is just like blown up
oh,
and kept blowing up.
Superstar.
But it was a buddy movie. It was a true, like, the two of them were,
yeah.
were both the stars. But I agree with you in that Martin Lawrence really was more of a scene stealer and Will Smith was poorly used.
Yes. Not only that, though, but his character was just way more interesting.
Yeah.
Will Smith, I can't tell you anything about who he was.
He was one-dimensional stereotype.
He did, you know, you saw the best part of him when he was living with Martin's family and you saw him interact with the kids and he's like telling them scary cop stories and that was kind of funny. And then you see him with Martin's wife and they're sitting on the couch looking at photo albums and they're laughing together and it's sweet. And, you know, they're looking at pictures of Martin when he had like a huge afro and they're, and it's sweet. And you kind of see that part of him, but I don't know. I just found his character boring. Very boring.
Yeah. I have a few more things we need to talk about, and I'm just
okay, I have a few as well,
things,
but go ahead.
But John Sally is in this film.
I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is, I meant.
Star of the NBA.
Oh, that's right. You told me that during the movie.
Basketball player, went to Georgia, I believe.
Oh, he played a big computer nerd.
Yes, he played a hacker with thick glasses.
Oh, that's right. A prisoner, like a dude who had been arrested,
who
was in jail.
They bring him out to hack into this bad cop's files that have been locked up. And he hacks in, but there's a weird shot where he's on the computer and then he stands up and he's huge compared to Martin Lawrence. I mean, he's huge compared to human
he's
beings.
He's huge, yeah.
But Martin Lawrence is beneath him and they're yelling at each other. And there's a shot from his point of view looking down at Martin Lawrence and it's like this fisheye thing because he has thick glasses. It was just so out of step with the rest of the film. It was really weird and awkward.
I kinda liked
and
it.
It was like, what the fuck? Why is that John Sally?
I liked it because he made a comment that was funny to me, and now I forget what it was, but basically about how cops are stupid.
Cops are so dumb. Look, it's coming up.
thing.
Yeah, because he's hacking into this thing, like, and he's like, yes. I just got into it. You guys said you've been working on this forever. This is easy. Cops are stupid. That leads into the second thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
What he's doing is hacking into the personnel file of this cop who was the bad cop at the beginning who had the dope out and was partying with it. We find out he was a cop.
A former cop. He's not a bad cop.
Right.
Yeah.
So they find out.
All cops are bad cops. Let's be clear about that.
Let's also clarify that. This is also a buddy cop movie. And so it's glorifying police and all this stuff, which is interesting. But it was a different time. We'll get to
that
in a
minute. I have something to say about that too.
Okay. So back to John Sally. He hacks in. He finds out about the bad guy and they find out who the mole is. There's somebody in the department that's been giving stuff away.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah.
Can I say? Can I tell? Uh-huh. It's the secretary lady.
It's the secretary. She was the ex-cop's girlfriend, and they had some compromising video of her, and so they were blackmailing her to not
tell them it was? Sex video?
So there's a scene where she's, like, crying and telling Mike Lowry, and she loves Mike Lowry. You can tell.
Yeah, she's into him.
She's like, I'll do anything for you.
Every woman is into him in this movie. That's his only character trait.
So she's women sad, love him. And she's admitting, like, I never gave him your name. I didn't, like, give him information that would hurt you. And I'm really sorry they had this information on me, so I had to do it. That scene, the way they filmed that, it's so weird. She's this, like, platinum blonde, curly hair, like a 50s style almost. And she's in the foreground crying. And Will Smith's looking over her. And in the background is Martin Lawrence silhouetted against these, like, bright white windows, even though it's nighttime.
Yes, you pointed that out during the movie.
Yes, and what I said was, it's almost like a film noir made by a toddler.
Yeah, that's right.
With their dad's VHS camcorder. It was trying so hard to do something.
Something, anything interesting.
But it didn't fit it with, like, the way the rest of the movie was shot at all.
Like, hey guys, I'm realizing we didn't do anything cool except for that luge part.
It was such a weird shot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, can I just talk about the police thing I was going to say real quick? And then I have some things I just want to mention. First of all, at the end of the movie, Will Smith shoots a guy. I found it interesting that I saw a cop in this movie tell someone to freeze. And then when they didn't freeze, shoot them in the leg when they didn't freeze, which is weird because it seems to me like in real life, white cops don't know how to do that when dealing with a black person. So in real life, what I have seen is that cops, white cops in particular, shoot to kill for all kinds of reasons, usually totally unjustified fucking reasons. And I just found that really struck me. I noticed that he shot him to take him down and shot him in the fucking leg. And this is something I think about every single time a new story comes out about how a black man or a black woman or a native man or a native woman or a just person has been fucking gunned down by police for unjust reasons. I'm like, shouldn't these assholes be trained to take someone down without killing them? And so I noticed that, and I just wanted to mention it. Although the funny part about this is that then they do end up killing the guy they shoot because he pulls another gun on them, that stupid thing, that villain thing where the villain's never dead. You think he's dead.
Yeah.
And then, oh no, look out, he has another gun that we didn't check. Like three times.
Yeah.
But still.
Will Smith ends up monologuing a whole bunch with this guy on the ground and talking about how he's not going to kill him and he's not worth it. He wants to, but Martin Lawrence is like, no. And then.
Yeah, he's like, he's not worth killing.
And then they don't check him to see if he has any weapons.
Wait, hang on.
And they just turn around and start hugging and joking.
Let's talk about that for a second. The fact that Martin Lawrence said it's not worth killing him.
Right.
That suggests that there might be consequences for killing someone, doesn't it? So weird. That's the most fictional part of this fucking movie, is that there would ever be... Sorry.
You didn't even mean to do it that time.
I didn't.
They do talk about their body count a lot. So they do kill a lot of other people in this film.
I know.
They don't care. But I understand your point, and I think that's fair. The criticism we'll get is that, well, this is a movie, so of course he could do that. But...
What?
Also, throughout the movie, they are attacked by a bunch of dudes with like shotguns, and I don't think there are any machine guns or anything. There's a scene where Martin Lawrence and Taylor Leone are in this apartment, and three dudes bust in with shotguns, or at least one of them has a shotgun, and they run in front of that guy to exit the apartment. Instead of going the other direction or anywhere else or behind something, they just run in front of a shotgun. Yes,
it was hilarious.
They all miss. Everybody misses.
Yeah, these villains can't fucking shoot. It's just like, it's like watching the stormtroopers in Star Wars. It's like, it's hilarious. They can't shoot at all.
I don't think they hit anybody the whole movie. I mean, they shoot Will Smith at one point right at the end. Mm-hmm. He gets a bullet. But I think it might have actually been Martin Lawrence's bullet, because it's shot so poorly that nobody knows who is firing again.
Okay, real quick, I have a few things I want to mention. One is that there were two other cops who were both Latino.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I recognized. I don't know who he was. But I liked those guys, and I wish there would have been more of them. There was one scene where one of them said cojones, like, you must have big cojones to do that. And both Will Smith and Martin Lawrence were like, they're like, cojones?
What's that?
And they're like, what? And then they're like, English. And they were, and the dude's response was, you live in Miami and you don't know what cojones means. And I was like, that is rad. That's an excellent question. I love that they did that. There was another part with those two where they were arguing about who was better, Lucille Ball or Desi Arnaz.
Yeah.
And it was just very endearing. It was very endearing. Oh, hi. How about the part where the madam got killed with a fucking sledgehammer?
Yeah.
We didn't have to see it, thank God. But I was like, oh, good. Great. Just murder and brutality of women. Yeah. Like, two different women have been just.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to mention some things that actually did make me laugh. One was that there was a scene where Joey Pantoliano was playing basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And he sucked real bad.
He's not good at it.
Going. Shit. Little off.
It just kept, like, going over the entire backboard. And
terrible.
Okay, here's the part that really made me laugh. Taya Leone and Martin Lawrence, they go to Will Smith's apartment. But they, you know, Martin is claiming it's his apartment. And so there are all these pictures on the shelves.
Of Will Smith.
Which, by the way, it's weird that he has that many pictures of himself anyway. But she's like, who's the guy in the pictures?
It's weird that he has any pictures of himself. Not with other people. They're just
him. For some reason, it made me laugh really hard. And Martin trying to explain it, too. And he kept saying Mike Lowry over and over again about how he's Mike Lowry. And there was I don't know. It was just really silly and it made me laugh.
It's Mike Lowry.
She also thought that he was gay. She's like, I thought you might be gay.
So then it turns into this super homophobic thing.
Where I mean,
he's like, no, why would you think that? You see the dents in the bed? That's me just pounding away all the time.
Yeah. No, it was, let me be clear, it was 100% homophobic. It was 100% less homophobic than I would have expected. And I'm not given any props for that. I'm just saying my expectation of this time period and movies like this would be that it would be a way bigger joke. Like, she wasn't homophobic about it.
Right.
She was just like, I thought you were gay. And he was funny about it. It was like Martin Lawrence being
exasperated and
just, you know, that thing he does where he's kind of lovable and he's like,
it's still though, that was the joke.
No, it's like, totally homophobic, but also I think that part of the joke with that was that he was the joke.
He
was the joke for sure also. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, that was a mixed bag. But it did make me laugh when she asked who was in all the pictures. Now we can get to what I know you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The part of this movie that made me laugh more than anything else was the part where it was during the car chase part. And it was where they showed a close-up on the word ether.
Mm-hmm. Ether.
Right before the car runs into the ether and it explodes. But they showed
the part I want to talk about. Oh. I want to talk about way before that when they ether.
But that made me laugh very hard.
Yeah.
That they showed a close-up of the word ether in case we missed it.
Mm-hmm.
In case we had missed what you're going to mention. Yeah. And also just, it made me laugh so fucking hard because it was so bad. Also, why would Taya Leone know how to do such a good commando role?
Well,
because she commando rolls out of the car.
She just pulled it off.
Question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Michael Bay thinks this is a good movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. I have a question about the ether.
Okay, yes,
so
please.
So they set up the ether earlier in the film, which I have so many questions about the whole setup of it and the ether itself.
Okay.
They go to this club, Club Hell, because apparently the bad guys are there. They find this out somehow. Outside of the club, before Will Smith and Martin Lawrence get there, there's an ice cream truck or like a delivery van thing parked outside, and a dude is sitting inside, and somebody yells at him and is like, don't go anywhere, just stay right here, because that's really explosive. And then they show like these barrels full of ether suspended from the ceiling.
Ether.
Yeah. On the top, right on the top of the barrel so you can see them. That's where you spray paint in red letters.
It's seriously like an old, it's like a Batman.
Yeah, or like, you know, a like Wile E. Coyote Batman thing. Movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's how bad it is.
They're using the ether apparently to, I think, dry out because there's something about the drugs. They're trying to process the drugs with the ether, basically. But why did they need to park the van outside during this fucking rave or club night in the Club Hell and have it sitting there ready to go? I didn't understand why this was set up. But they leave Club Hell.
Drugs.
And they steal Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, jump in this van because it's the nearest vehicle. So they get in it and they start this car chase. And there's these guys chasing them. First of all, ether. I'm no chemist. But
true.
I believe ether is a gas at room temperature. So you wouldn't keep it in kegs. Like, these are beer keg type barrels.
Yeah, and they're using it to, make heroin.
Right.
And so I don't know. I didn't understand that either.
So I think it's supposed to be a gas, highly flammable. But it's in these liquid kegs.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, Will Smith starts throwing them out the back of the van. They're also suspended in their individual little hammocks in this van. It's not a good way to transport something. Anyway, he lifts them out of the van. If those things are filled with liquid, Will Smith is a strong man. We've talked about how beautiful his body is. He's not that fucking strong.
It's very beautiful.
You cannot pick up a fucking keg like that and throw it out the back of a van that easily.
I don't know, man.
So I'm confused about this whole thing.
It's gas. Well,
but they show it several times that it's ether in there. Yep. It's labeled
and
ether.
And it explodes.
Yeah, I think that's the first time he shoots at it and it explodes and they blow up this beautiful 68 Camaro.
Mm-hmm, And then at the end, when Taya Leone is driving toward it, she does a commando roll out of the car, and then they show, just in case we missed, just close up on the word ether, and then
right big before explosion. The truck hits it.
Everything in Michael Bay movies is just a setup for explosions.
Oh, so weird.
Okay, can we just be done?
Yes. Please.
God.
We hope you've enjoyed this journey with
us. I mean,
us.
Honestly, I think it sounds like we hated this movie maybe more than we actually did. I don't have any feelings about it. My greatest feeling was disappointment because I thought these two were at least going to make me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, and I could count the number of times that I chuckled on one hand. Mm-hmm. And some of those were Taya Leone, not these two dudes. And their chemistry, I mean, it wasn't bad. It just was it wasn't used well.
Yeah.
Again, it's the writing and the directing. Okay, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, me too.
By this conversation. Yada, yada. I'm exhausted by this conversation.
Thank you.
So we have some new people in our Facebook group.
Yes.
And stuff like that, which is great. And anybody listening out there, if you want to join our Facebook group, go ahead. You can also follow us on Twitter at NeverSawThatPod.
And on Instagram.
At IneverSawThat. That's all the places we are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can rate and review us on iTunes. We would very, very much appreciate it if you would. And that's it. That's it. That's all. That's all. That's all we have to say. Thank you.
Yada, yada. That's all.
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we just appreciate everybody who has supported us in any way throughout this whole journey. This is our 40th episode.
Yes. 40 episodes.
We're really proud of that. And if you've been with us along the way or you're just joining us, thank you. That's awesome. We appreciate it very much. So, without further ado, thanks to Graham McRae for our artwork.
Thank you to Fifi Folios for our internet stuff.
Thanks to Minus Violet for our music.
Yada yada. Thanks to Minus Violet for our music. Until next time.
I hate you.
See you in the 90s. Yada yada. See you in the 90s.
I'm a bad boy.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
Stop.
What you gonna
Stop.
Do when they come for
Stop.
You?
I fucking hate you. I hate you so much.